Prosecution Council meeting. Today is January 11th, 2019. It's about 12:45. Let's go around the room to state who is here. I'll start with myself, Barry Huntington, Garfield County Attorney.
Stephen Foote, Duchesne County Attorney.
Dave Carlson, AG's office.
Will Carlson, Salt Lake County DA's office.
Robert Coulson, City of St. George.
And
Steve Garside. I probably should have said that earlier in swap as well. Steve Garside's proxy.
Okay.
Haley Christensen, Utah County Attorney's Office.
Marilyn Jasperson, Prosecution Counsel.
Bob Church, UPC.
Conway, UPC.
Rob Van Dyke, Payne County.
Welcome, everybody. We need to approve the minutes from September 19th, 2018. Someone's read those? We do, because of the proxy. We have a quorum. Right? Mm-hmm. I know you've been counting. Has anybody read the minutes?
I have.
So have I.
Are they good?
Yes, they are.
Motion to approve. On faith.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we'll approve the minutes.
Do I say aye, aye?
Yeah, you do have to say aye.
I have to say aye, aye.
You do have to say aye.
I didn't know this was such a faithful body.
In a pirate's voice. All right, let's go to the financial report.
Cover one eye. I'm tired. I should have put that roll in my mouth. I apologize. So there was an amended budget for fiscal year 19. It's at tab B. So let me kind of go through and highlight, and you'll see when you go through the actual materials what is new, where I had to make some changes. So let me just review that. There was a request from Steve Garside that we co-sponsor an ethics course with Layton City. I think he talked about this last time. And so I sent it out via email to the council, and the majority of people said that let's go ahead and sponsor. We will contribute $1,000 towards the course, anticipating that we'll recoup the costs. I think it's only about seven people that would need to attend. So for 2 hours of ethics, I imagine that we'll get more than seven people. The conference materials, that includes the handouts and calendars and swag that we do. I've reduced that amount. The regional training, I don't know why I thought that $700 would cover it, but it's actually about $2,000 between Marlise Tyson and I to go out and do that, so I increased that. Postage, I decreased a little bit. Telephone, I needed to increase. Again, I'm not sure what we were looking at. Law clerk, I had budgeted for a law clerk in the approved agenda last June. Two things, we don't have space for a law clerk, and we may not for a while. I'll get down to the note. Spence Austin is proposing that the affected departments who are having space issues, that we get together and talk about how we can accommodate that. But Monday we had our AG Justice Division meeting that Dave is in charge of and held. And what the AG's office is proposing to do is to create a pool of law clerks, as opposed to having like a specific law clerk for a section. But I preliminary talked with him, and he's proposed that Janice McConnis and he meet together and see if we can't contribute to that and use a clerk in the pool as opposed to having a UPC dedicated law clerk. So that's where we're at on that. So I have the money that was the $20,000 that I had covered or budgeted towards a law clerk. I've just redistributed elsewhere in the budget. The employee incentive, I reduced it by $1,000. Again, trying to save some costs. I appreciate, I know my staff appreciate in December the council approved some incentive awards. You can see my notes there. Is I wish it had been more. I know AG's has a little bit more of a budget, and so their employees will sometimes get more than that, but that's okay. Okay, so projecting the surcharge, this is something I wanted to talk about. Because if you look at the budget, right now we're like $500 or $600 under budget. I know that that's not going to be the case. We're going to be good. And historically, we'll probably be good anywhere, maybe $50,000. It's even been higher than that. So the issue is I'm really conservative in how I project what I think the surcharge is going to be. And I like doing that because I like having a cushion, because I think some of you that have been on the council long enough remember one year, when was it, Marilyn, we had to go to the AG's office and ask to waive our overhead. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been however many years ago, so I'm really, you know, trying to avoid that. And the way that I'm avoiding that is being, you know, really conservative in estimating what the surcharge is going to be. The finance people here in the AG's office think, or have told me, or at least, you know, last year told me that I'm being too conservative and that I could plan on spending a little bit more than that. It's just, I don't want to get into the position, you know, where we have to come back and ask. So, I guess what I'm asking is, you know, council's thoughts on that. If I remain conservative, I just know that in finance they hate seeing, you know, a big surcharge carryover, you know, and I understand that as well.
I think you should be conservative, but you know, everybody else thinks. I think it's a cautious approach is best. Because we have had issues where we've had to borrow money or had mm-hmm. to switch things around, and I'd rather be under budget than over it and then have to ask for help.
Okay. And why do they not like seeing that? Just because somebody might go, okay, well, maybe they were giving too much
right.
to them.
If yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I have a meeting with Kimberly Schmeling. She's the chief finance operator or executive chief financial officer. Marilyn and I are meeting with her in 2 weeks, and you know, I think hopefully I'll have a better idea where she thinks we're going to be. And if she thinks we're going to be really high, then maybe I can
adjust.
But I mean, if the council, that's my preference, is to be conservative. But
I recall years where we couldn't let Marilyn go to a trip and some mm-hmm. things like that, which was not a cool thing.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have the money and know we have it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
But you guys might think differently, but that's...
Yeah. Okay. Okay, then I guess I need a motion to approve the amended budget then.
Okay. Any questions about the budget from anyone? We get a motion to approve the amended budget?
A motion to approve.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any more discussion or all in favor? I'm in favor. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Okay.
All right. To amend budgets.
Thank you. Then the budget comparison report, I can go through that if you want, or I can just hit the highlights. Actually, let me skip this. What's the rest on page two? Let me talk about the surcharge. So what you can see, what I've got there at the top of page three, is the last 3 months, you'll see November was the only month where we were higher than last year. And I just got thinking, I'm going to go back, you know, 5 years ago, this was, and, you know, see what the surcharge was to compare. But then, so I did that and I came back later and then thought, no, I want to compare what our yearly totals have been for the last 10 years. And so that's what you see there, you know, where it has the fiscal year 16 all the way down to fiscal year 8. And you'll see what our 10-year high was back in 2009 was, you know, close to $600,000. So from that high year to, you know, this year that we ended, we are, you know, essentially we're $70,000 short each year in the surcharge. You know, absent judges saying no more. Well, I mean, we can debate the philosophical reasons why, or the literal reasons why we're not getting more money, but I just wanted to make you aware of that. Let's see. So, I mean, like I said, I don't know that there's really anything we can discuss. Darcy was mentioning to me that at UAC yesterday, Representative Hutchings didn't think that there was, you know, a real problem with the drop in the surcharge. I don't know, was anybody here for that meeting?
I was in that meeting.
Do you remember what he said?
He specifically said it was about port security, uh-huh. and he said he's heard a lot of moaning about dropping surcharges, but then when he was asked the courts for the data, they only showed a 20% decrease year over year, I think he said.
Yeah.
and that couldn't account for all of this crisis in court security. So what's causing the crisis?
Right. Well, so from 17 to 18, there's really not a whole lot of change between the two. In fact, we're just $200. We're $200 to the good over last year. It's just when you go back 10 years and you can see when it was at its high, that's really where the impact has come. So.
And this may be helpful to explain to him.
Well, and I'm hoping to meet with him when I'm going to talk about it later, trying to get the $70,000 back, the DB training dollars that was lost last year, as I'm going to prepare this. And both Reed and Dan Burton are working with me, trying to meet with him and figure out a way to propose it to the legislature and talk about ways that we can get those funds back. Let's see, still on the financial report, civil, we did get through the $3,500 from a swap. We had planned, and part of that budget, I guess I should have mentioned, is with the approved budget, is we're no longer doing a cyber crime or an advanced trial course. And the reason is, as I put in there, is as a staff, we realize that we are losing some of our senior trainers in the state. And we need to be able to rejuvenate our training pool. So we made the executive decision that we're going to hold a train the trainer this year. Traditionally, we have paid the hotel and per diem costs for all the students, and then we just ask the offices to pay for mileage. That's what we're planning to continue to do, unless the council wants to do something different. And the reason we've done that is we're taking them out of their offices. We let them know that your newly trained trainer is going to come back, is going to be a better trial attorney, have better advocacy skills, et cetera, et cetera. But, really, they're doing us a favor by letting them go. So I don't know if y'all want to discuss that. Do we ask the individual offices to pay for more, or do we want to continue how we're doing that, where we pick up the hotel and the per diem?
Well, I think we're in charge of, our job is to train people, mm-hmm. So I don't see an issue with doing it the same way as anybody else.
So continuing to pay?
Yeah.
Okay. Just so you know, we are doing it in Springdale, and again, we debated on where we wanted to do it. In the past, a couple times, we've done it in Layton, and, no knock on Layton, Marlies, but, it's not a destination resort. It's kind of boring, and when we were there...
It was particularly overcast that week, it was as gray and dreary as it could be.
Yeah, it was the worst inversion.
We had some suicides.
Yes, I know. you couldn't, just being there in Layton, you couldn't even see the mountains. The inversion was so bad.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was awful. So we thought, to try to generate some interest, we are going to go to Springdale. I'm letting people know right up front that, we're taking them to a fun place, but we do expect them to work. So that's... And we got a pretty good deal down there. We're off season.
We had a really good deal.
Yeah. So as we've talked about now for a couple of years, when we want to go to these destination places, Springdale, Moab, primarily to get a good rate, we have to go in the off season. So this is our first off season conference down there. So we'll see how that goes. You'll see who we have invited. Will has confirmed. We've got a couple people from Utah County. David Levitt, I had reached out to him a couple weeks ago, and he was going to wait till he got an office. So maybe, Haley, if you would just remind him to say, hey, if you'll take a look at people's schedules and see if we can get your folks or however many we can get.
I will do that.
Thank you. So then Will, Lance Basham from Utah County, Will, Matt Hansen from Reber, Nathan Lyons from Davis, Brandon Miles from Davis, John Nielsen's confirmed from the AG's office. Yvette Rodier is approved. Christine Scott from Utah County. Ivy Tayas from Summit is confirmed. Spencer Walsh is approved. Blair Wardle is going to come pending a trial. And then Kelsey Young from Utah County, just waiting for approval there. And then you can see who the faculty is. We're bringing in Jared Olson. He's the TSRP, Tyson's counterpart from Idaho. He helped rewrite the curriculum for Train the Trainer, and Tyson says he's probably the best trainer he's ever seen. So I think we should have a really good faculty. The government ethics, you can see the description that Steve sent to me on the presenter. We'll be sending out, I just needed to get a couple more piece of information from him before we send out the save. Well, we can send out the save the date, but I just prefer to send out the registration. So hopefully in the next week or two, you'll see that coming. Spring conference. You can look at the agenda. It's in there. John Nielsen, we'll have him. Steve Garside, we have suggested that he help John with the case law update. Got to talk to Steve because that's, you know, right after the legislative session. New county attorney. Let's talk about that, unless you have details about spring. So all nine of the newly electeds have confirmed. You all as incumbents, Robert, I don't know if you want to come from St. George and rub shoulders with the new county attorneys, but, you know, everybody's invited. I've only actually heard back, you know, from three or four that are going to come. Rob's actually on the agenda, but we're looking forward to that. For those that attended, it's probably been a couple of years since you two attended. I mean, it was pretty intense when you guys went through.
15 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's been a while. But this year, it's going to be even more intense because remember we talked when you guys met down in St. George, is where we didn't really take anything away. We've just shortened some presentation time, but what we've added is the competency in a civil commitment session. We're doing a private property ombudsman. The cool thing is that Christina Sloan, the new Grand County attorney, has volunteered to do that. I mean, it's only going to be like 15 or 20 minutes, but the fact that she's getting involved, I think, is great. And as you guys get to know her, I'm excited about that. We're taking advantage that we've got the Virtra in this building, and so one of the days during lunch, we'll take them in, and we won't be able to let everybody shoot, you know, do a scenario, but everybody will get to watch. And then Will Falk is going to walk them through some of the legal training that they typically do with prosecutors and law enforcement. Jeff Hall from the AG or DA's office is going to talk about managing critical incidents, you know, with a primary focus on officer-involved shootings, but you know, some of the other things as well. And then we're adding a leadership session. We're feeding them lunch every day, so they really don't get to leave the building the entire time they're here. And so really, the only reason we really need to confirm, you know, if any of y'all want to come up or come down or whatever, is just to make sure that we have enough food. What are we planning on, 20 people every day about?
Yeah.
So that's 10 attendees and then 10 guests. I know Dave and Janice, you know, being in this building and are going to drop by, and Johnny Miller's coming up for this civil stuff, and so I think it will be some really good training for that. I haven't gotten to it yet. Okay, UPAA, Haley. Sorry.
Go ahead, roll. Yeah.
We still have two current positions open. We were kind of waiting until our conference this June to announce it. We are looking for one city and one county position. As far as the people that we have that are interested, we have a couple, but they're part-time. We're worried about taking them away from their office as being part-time employees. Other than that, we've tentatively planned our UPAA conference. We're just confirming a couple speakers. And think of anything else. Can you, Marilyn?
How often do you meet?
We probably meet once a quarter.
Okay.
Yeah, 4 or 5 times a year.
And you just kind of rotate around the state where you meet?
No.
Where you meet up? Pretty
much meet here.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'm
we just keep rolling?
Keep rolling. Okay. Was Tyson in here? Tyson's here.
Yeah. Before we go to Tyson, what I added that's not on there is we had to put together, all the divisions in the AG's office are putting together a report for 2018. And so I got numbers from the entire staff. So Tyson, I don't know if he'll mention this, he trained a record number of people this year. You can see that, 1,711. Marlise has trained 1,923 people.
That's actually just the trauma training. There's other domestic violence training that I didn't include in that.
Oh, okay.
Which I realized afterwards.
Yeah.
Good job.
And that just, because I didn't know where else to put it, since we're talking about staff and who's trained, is since I have expanded Marilyn's responsibilities to include training, her keeping it together, wellness training, she trained 171 people, three different conferences, and then with the e-prosecutor, Rounds provided hands-on training to at least 36 people. And we'll talk more about e-prosecutor when we get to it. So, Tyson, what else?
My report details everything. One thing I've said this in the past, but I really mean it this time. I'm going to be reaching out to council members in particular to come to your areas of the state and train your police departments. I've been around, but I haven't done any in Garfield County outside of our legislative updates.
Okay.
I'd love to come down and do the sheriff's office down there. Do you have any local deputies?
A lot of my guys are going to be retiring, so that's a good idea.
Okay.
So they got younger people that haven't had a lot of experience.
So I've hit all these departments in the legislative updates, but I've never come and done any of my specific stuff.
Yeah, you should.
So I'll be reaching out to you guys probably sometime in the next couple weeks to talk about when we can put it on a calendar and get me out there to do it. So
we've got the 05. The other thing I was going to ask you about is I just did a DUI trial on prescription meds. Mm-hmm. So maybe some tips on, because I went back to the notebook, the tool book, whatever it's called, and I couldn't see much. So I just kind of winged it. She was convicted, but she appeals. So anything you can give us as far as tips, because I'm sure we're all seeing more prescription meds, DUIs, and the defense are saying take them to trial. Those are too hard to win, and they're not, but it's just a different animal. So
okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can start putting some stuff together on that. Drug DUI is becoming a way bigger issue.
Yeah.
It's going to become even a bigger issue with some of our policies that we've made. So, that can become a high priority.
I just think of that, too. If they're legalizing marijuana, yep, that could become, they still can't drive under the influence of it.
And how do you tell if they are?
How do you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole bag of worms. Utah's always had, even before this policy change, though, we've had a higher rate of fatalities in the DUI drug world than alcohol. Mm-hmm. And so that is a big deal. But I really do want to come, especially with council members, come down and train St. George PD on some of this stuff and everything else. But I'll reach out to you guys individually.
Yeah, let us know the time frame and make sure they go.
And we can get something, work through you with your departments and get stuff scheduled.
Summer's better in Penguin, if you didn't know. So it was like 14 below a week ago. So.
Yeah, there's ice on Penguin Lake, right?
Lots of ice. We actually fish on Penguin Lake right now. We didn't have any last year. Okay.
Also, I've included my report in there and all my statewide travels. The next quarter, I only have a few of the HB 200 base training set for this next quarter, and that's both intentional and coincidental because we're revising the statute or the curriculum for the 3-day HB 200 investigators training. So we're revising and revamping that, and we're excited about that. That's going to take a lot of time, as well as the legislative session being in. It's great to be the sex assault DV resource prosecutor, but if I can't help at the beginning part of it to try and prevent some of the issues that then we're having to deal with at the back end, then it's kind of counterproductive. So I'm hopefully having a little bit less travel this next quarter, and then I'll be reassessing where I have not been and reaching out again. They're not mandated to take the training. We were mandated to offer it. So there's still, I've been to about 70 different agencies, but there's still a lot of agencies, including St. George and some other areas where I haven't been as of yet, so I'll be kind of readdressing and trying to get up there and providing it. I will tell you, and you can pass on to your agencies, St. George in particular, the chief misunderstood at first and thought that it was a mandated training and was not happy about it, and then when he found out that it wasn't mandated, he was
Which
happy.
Chief?
Oh, I couldn't tell you at this point. It was a year.
Marlon Stratton. far, Chief Farnsworth. Chief Farnsworth is the new chief.
Oh, so likely then I've got a new chief even. But anyways, some of these bigger agencies, they're difficult to get all their officers in for training. But what I've done is I will accommodate and come multiple times so that they can rotate officers through so that they can.
Right. And we have a, just for St. George, as you mentioned, they have an established training cycle that they do. It's every, because I just trained some on Wednesday and I'm going to do it again this next Wednesday. So they do it two Wednesdays in a row, like twice a month or something, they're doing that rotation.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'll reach out. Once we get past the legislative session, then I'll reach out and see if I can help accommodate them and bring the training to them. Because the agencies I have gone to, and I've had chiefs that have just said, wow, this is the most helpful information we've had. Where has this been for decades? And the reality is we didn't have it decades ago. We weren't making those connections, but we have it now. So.
Thank you both for your work.
You're welcome.
Yeah, they're doing awesome.
Thank you. All righty, prosecutor.
Just so y'all know, actually I think everybody knows, we got the final $235,000. So the grant is paying the entire cost of the prosecutor. So sadly, it came late after Salt Lake admitted and Utah County and, you know, some other places. But we did get that. So Grant, Ron.
Okay, so where we're at right now is we're live in Wasatch County and South Jordan City. As a kind of, they're kind of being on the bleeding edge of things and going through. And so far, there's been very little trouble as far, because we went through a whole real dedicated, detailed process to get it ready before we went live. Had very little problem other than just a few, you know, I mean, there's a few statute problems that weren't there or that were wrong, a couple of documents that needed to be fixed. Nothing really with the system itself, and as far as I know, they're running along pretty smoothly. And so, when I would know, because they keep sending me, they copy me on all the issues. So right now, JTI personnel are helping with the support for the first four agencies that implement, you know, this month, because that was part of their agreement. And then after that, it'll fall more on me, so that the support will come directly to me. And then if there's something I can't handle, then I bump it up and they help me get it done. There's some things, of course, I can't do because it's hosted on in the cloud at Amazon Web Services. I have no access to that, and I don't want access to it. So they have to do things that need to be fixed on that end. But I can do a whole lot on my end as far as configuring documents and configuring searches and reports and stuff. I can do all that, and you know, take problems with user accounts and everything. I do all that. So so right now it's not. Too bad. I think based on what a few couple of meetings ago we talked about how much my time would be spent on it. Looks like those predictions are going to be pretty accurate, because once we go full, you know, a bunch of people on, I'll be using a lot of, you know, probably 80-90% of my time will be only on e-prosecutor and support, and the rest will be just, you know, conferences and the website. So, but it looks like it shouldn't be a big deal to handle, because there doesn't look like there's going to be huge amounts of problems that I can't just deal with quickly. Most of them are pretty quick, you know, 5 minute or less fixes. Occasionally it runs in, I'm sure it's going to run, and we haven't run into everything yet because we don't have a whole lot of people on it, so I can't predict the future how that'll go, but we'll see going down the road. You have a question?
I was just going to ask, is there any kind of better estimate when it's going to be able to go out to the rest of the...
Yeah, we're basically our thoughts were that let the four agencies use it. They started this month for the two, and then next week, I think, Provo City comes on, the week after that, Juab County. And then after that, we let them use it for a month or two, probably 2 months. And then we will get together and say, all those who have signed their agreements, we'll talk to them and say, okay, who wants it now, who can wait a little while and whatever, then the committee will kind of sort it out and say who could kind of get the order of we're going to do it, and then we'll just start implementing them as fast as we can for those who want it. Right now I have, I think there's 16 agencies that have signed agreements and returned them, and now I'm going to be getting most of them back, the fully executed copy signed by JTI on the joinder agreement, and we've got that signed for most of them now, and I'll be getting those back so they have the copy in their office of the fully signed and executed agreements. So that's kind of how we're going to proceed. We've got the We worked out a process to update the offense table that we do. Tyson will do the same thing he always does, and I'll just take it from there and just run the update, and everybody has it immediately. That's using the prosecutor. Also, we worked out a process that's just as easy for city codes. If you have local and city codes that need to be in it, as we implement it, I'll just ask for a electronic file that has the codes in it, and then I'll take that and import it into the prosecutor, and you got it.